97.5, The Fanatic.
What up?
And a good Sunday morning, Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Salchunas alongside my man Jamie Lynch. It is time to wake and bake, brother. How are you? You getting yourself settled here?
Yeah. I hadn't seen Joe Torti in forever,
yeah,
so,
I know.
You know, when the conversation had to happen, so
yeah,
I'm late
normally,
setting up.
Normally the free winner show is on before us, so we don't see Joe and D, but we got to see Joe and D this morning, which is awesome.
I don't think I've seen Joe in 2 years, honestly.
Really?
Well, I guess COVID
and all that kind of stuff, yeah. That makes sense. Wow. Man, it's been that long.
It's weird, isn't it?
I got breakfast with him a few months ago, and that was like the first time I caught up with Joe.
Yeah, always good to see Torti.
Yeah, of course, so... Now you got Andrew Salchunas and Jamie Lynch, and we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff because, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on. We got the Phillies. What are you doing, man? What's your strategy? Phillies. Come on, it's a big win that they got to get.
They do. And that's going to be this morning, right? At 11?
No, that's when the gates are opening up.
Oh, so it starts at 12:30,
I think 12:10 or whatever, yeah.
And then they're just going to start the other one as close to on time as possible.
Yeah. Oh man, what's the move?
I don't know. Is the wild thing from the California Penitentiary League available?
Jeff Jenkins, does he pinch hit to restart the game?
Not that I had like immense confidence in Ranger Suarez taking the job and running.
No, neither did I.
But at least I had some ilk of confidence.
Because he looks like he knows how to pitch.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like Alvarado where it's let me just throw as hard as I can and hopefully it's near the zone. Ranger Suarez is at least... Hey, I know where to locate pitches.
Yeah.
But it didn't work yesterday.
No, it didn't. And of course.
Same old story.
I was laying down, so we had a barbecue at my house with just like my cousin and mom. And I cleaned up, I finish, and I go and lay down on the couch. And I'm just laid back, you know, fully, you know, disgusting. I ate too much.
Okay.
I'm uncomfortable. I'm laying there, and my wife and sister walk in. And they're like, oh, the Phillies are up. And I was like, yeah. The home run goes out, and I went,
there it is.
I expected that.
Well, here's the thing.
Like, that's where the Phillies team has you. Just like, yeah, I expected that.
But this is where...
23rd blown save.
Yes, and that's
23!
That's got to be a message to the front office, man.
Because
here's the deal. I know it's just, like, simple to do this, to just subtract away, like, I don't know, 10 blown saves. But if you subtract about 10 blown saves, you're in first place in the NL East.
Easily.
Last year... You cut out half of those blown saves they had, half of those blown leads. They were a playoff team last year. So when people complain about the roster, right, the way the lineup might be inconsistent, the starting pitching might not be all that great after Zach Wheeler. All right, I totally understand it. I get it. But if they just paid a little attention to the bullpen and, again, they cut that in half, I'm not even saying half of the 23. Give me 8. You're in first place. So that's got to be a message to the front office. This is why I keep on going. You should be buyers at the deadline because clearly your team is good enough to put you in positions to win day in and day out.
Yeah.
And yet you blow saves.
I want to buy two. I don't even need the top of the end, you know, bullpen arm that's available. But you need something. You can't continue to tell your position players and a guy like Zach Wheeler, who's been phenomenal, that we're not going to try and help you.
No.
You just can't. It's not the right message to send. This division's there for the taking. Lindor went on the DL or the IL yesterday. Yeah. So the Mets took another blow. They're beat up as hell. The Braves are beat up as hell.
Yeah, Cunha's done for the year.
Yeah, it's a war of attrition, and the Phillies are in the best shape in the division.
Yeah.
In terms of health.
As long as they stay hydrated.
Don't get me started.
We'll talk about it.
So, yeah, you got to buy, if for nothing else, to tell your everyday players, the guys that are busting their ass out there, that at least we're trying because we see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The offense and starting pitching has been good enough. Matt Moore's been good 3 starts in a row now. Like, you got to go try. You have to.
I could not see Matt Moore, even though he's...
I'm all aboard the Cole Express. He had his workout yesterday. Hit 91, I think, is a high. Said was hanging right around 88, 89, but apparently had, you know, the change-up and some movement going on his breaking stuff.
I saw the location wasn't good. Well, but it's also the first time he's pitched in front of people and God knows how long.
But the other teams looking at him were Boston, the Yankees, the Mets, all playoff contenders.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I could take Cole Hamels over Vince Velasquez for the remainder of the year, sure.
Even though Velo gave you another... decent outing yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He's up and down, up and down.
Well, I mean, his ERA is still over 4.5, so it's not like I'm saying keep Velo in the rotation.
Well, one of him or Matt Moore are going to implode by the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll take my insurance policy of Mr. Cole Hamels, who knows how to pitch between the ears any day of the week.
And, you know, World Series MVP, that's a pretty good thing to have, especially playing in the city.
But you got to go get a bullpen arm first.
You have to. And that's why, like, you know, when I ask you what's wrong with this team, obviously the bullpen's the number one answer. You're going to say the corner defense or the defense in general, this team is pretty damn bad.
Man,
I get it.
Bone being gone.
Well, Therese has a nice little glove.
There's two plays I've seen now, at least, that Bohm doesn't even come close to making.
No, there's one, a chopper in game.
The double play they turned?
Well, no, I'm thinking of, I think it was game one of the doubleheader, and there was a chopper, and Therese, they had to shift on, but Therese had to come across the mound, bare hand throw.
Yeah.
And got the hitter out.
He's a good fielder.
Yeah, he is.
And you're getting to the point with Bohm's lack of offense where you're like, are they actually better with
Right,
Therese?
Does it actually work out or not? So you point out the defense is pretty damn bad, but you're not going to fix the defense at the trade deadline. That's not a baseball thing.
You don't make defensive trades.
It's bat or arm. And the bats, they only scored 2 runs yesterday in 9 innings, but that happens. The bats have been pretty strong over the last 2 weeks of games.
They have.
Including the week before the All-Star break. So why would you not look at this and go, all right, the glaring weakness of this team is the bullpen. If we shore that up a little bit, because we are 3 back of the Mets now after they lost yesterday.
Jeez.
Like, why wouldn't you be buyers? And I want to ask that to the audience today at 610-632-0975, because I still see people that are like, no, don't buy. Who cares? You know these prospects all suck.
Yeah, it's been
the Phillies farm system.
It's been a decade.
Since they made the playoffs,
A decade. I want to see September baseball. Go get a freaking arm. A bullpen arm should be not the easiest thing to get, but relatively for what you're giving up in terms of value, it should be one of the easier positions to address.
Right, and those years under Gabe Kapler when you were in first place, it was about now when they started blowing that lead, right? It wasn't it wasn't September when they blew the lead. They were still in the running, but they couldn't find ways to win. Like you just said, I want to see September baseball. I want to see a last month push to the playoffs out of a baseball team that we haven't seen in a decade, as you mentioned.
Yeah. God,
so is that crazy to want?
No. And if it requires going into the luxury tax, go into the freaking luxury tax. It's not really like this luxury tax gets way blown out of proportion of how crippling financially it is to the owners. It's a 20% tax on whatever you go over. If you go over $7 million, you're paying $140,000 in luxury tax. Like, can we just for one time in the history of the franchise, just go over it? You have a major market team. You have a huge TV deal. You'll get attendance in August and September if you are competitive.
If you start winning,
go get an arm.
And if I
don't get the alternative at all.
And if you're the Phillies, right? And I'm with you. I heard you talking about this on the morning show. I think John's kind of crazy to think that Cole Hamels would get $8 million for less than half a season.
He's like 3.5, right? 4 at most.
If you're a smart organization, you know Velasquez and you know Matt Moore could blow up at any moment.
Yes.
Cole Hamels could be terrible.
He could be.
But Cole Hamels fills up that stadium.
Oh, yeah.
I would say he could pitch poorly in his first 2 appearances. The 3rd appearance, it will still fill up because people are going to go, maybe this is the one.
Yeah.
Where,
and look,
why wouldn't you do that?
Before last year where he pitched basically like an inning for the Braves and he got an oblique injury, I think it was, from a home workout. Before that, he was still kind of effective in Chicago. He had like a 3.4 ERA. And the year before that, in like 12 or 13 games with the Cubs, had I think like a 2.7 ERA. So the guy still knows how to pitch.
He's a crafty lefty, man.
Yeah, and you get a lefty.
Yeah.
That's not Matt Moore.
That's not Matt Moore, who you might trust a little bit
more. Who kind of, rotation-wise, is Hamill's doppelganger.
Yeah.
They have a little bit of the same motion.
Yeah, I know.
But he's not Cole.
Just like your boy Drew Smiley and Cliff Lee.
He did look like Cliff Lee.
You thought he was Cliff Lee. There he is.
Every time his name's right.
610-632-0975. So if you say that they shouldn't be buyers, I need to find out why. Because the only thing that you could say that I guess makes sense is sell so that you can bring in prospects. But why would you do that right now? You're in striking distance of first place in the NL East. Now, you talked about a major market team, and all of a sudden, it looks like we might be a major market city again in terms of the organizations. I don't know. You got Damian Lillard's out there. Deshaun Watson's out there for the Eagles.
Crazy, right?
And Flyers, then you make a trade yesterday for Ryan Ellis.
Flyers make a big move.
Like, all of a sudden, I go, oh, look, the teams are all kind of maybe coming to life here.
Did you, you probably didn't catch Devon Friday night with me, did you?
No, I'm sorry.
That's fine. 6-7, I would have been buried in a pint glass myself.
I was at the Phils game, man.
Oh, nice.
I did the doubleheader. So I was, I did the Diamond Club.
Oh, it's amazing. Glorious.
I got my dad, I surprised him with tickets. I told him on Father's Day we were going to the Phillies game, and he thought we were going to Section 420, which is where I always sit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, 420, bro, Wake and Bake Show.
This is the show to wake
Shooter
and bake
smokes
to.
Weed. He sits at 420. It all makes sense. No, it's because it's home behind home plate. You can see everything.
Uh-huh.
So I've really got him seats in the Diamond Club.
Nice.
When we went down
what did
there.
That run you?
In case he's listening, I won't say. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. I've never actually bought. I've only been gifted two seats.
It was one of those things where I went, you know what? I would love to do this once a year.
Yeah.
And it won't kill me.
Yeah. It's incredible down there.
Now, they also aren't that good yet, so those prices could hike
sure.
up in a couple of years. But right now, I was like, all right. And you get a dining credit with them, which is nice. So, yeah, no.
Did you go watch the cages?
No, I looked down at them when I went to the bathroom because they're right there.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. It's cool.
Nobody, yeah, I know. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But, okay, no, I was not. What? Listen, you Friday. Sorry.
Oh, Devon says. Sorry. Yeah, we really sidetracked there. Devon has heard the same thing that Dame Lillard is interested in Philadelphia or New York.
Okay.
And look, you can have these Quentin Mayos in D.C. and random guys across the country throwing information out there.
Barry Bonds with a Z.
Oh,
did you
right.
see that one?
No, I didn't.
He's a recording artist.
Okay.
And he didn't have the Sixers mentioned.
Yeah, so I don't know these people. I don't trust these people.
No.
They may be right. They may be wrong. I trust Devon Givens.
Yes. Oh, I do.
And Devon said, you know, I wasn't planning on saying anything, but I talked to some people in the league that I trust today, and I'm hearing the same thing.
Okay.
That Philadelphia and New York are the contenders on Dame's shortlist.
Can I say something?
That made me want to run through a wall.
Can I say something?
Sure.
If you're the Sixers and you don't do it,
get out of my city.
Just give up. Just give up. Because there's no better opportunity than right now. If you get Damian Lillard, you're an NBA Finals contender.
Absolutely. You have two of the top 10 players in the league.
We're talking finals or bust all next year.
Yeah. And if Tobias is your third, that's an incredible situation.
Yeah. And I go, hey, bye bye, Ben. But
obviously,
Maxie, love you both.
But if you're not going to get. You're not going to stop me from getting Dame Lillard.
No.
And I like both those players.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody is in their right mind that says, no, don't trade Tyrese Maxey for Damian Lillard, I might have to question your basketball knowledge, to be quite honest.
Yeah, just maybe sanity.
Yeah.
Because this is what it's all about. Dame Lillard's under control for, I believe, 4 more years, same as Ben Simmons. We can go through the reasons why this makes sense for Portland. You know, there's a lot there that does make sense.
Yeah.
Devon and I went through some of the other teams and what they could possibly throw in the ring. Sixers are going to be, you know, a top 3 package in terms of fair value. So get it done.
Well, and that's the thing. No other New York. What is New York going to give up?
They can't give up anything. Obi Toppin and RJ Barrett.
Right, exactly.
If you're Portland, you go, come on.
And listen, RJ Barrett, nice little ball player.
Took a step last year, yeah.
There's like 15 RJ Barretts in the league.
Yeah.
Right? Like Ben Simmons, I will still say, if he unlocks his offensive game.
Sure, he's 24 years old.
And I'll say this, if he goes to Portland, if he goes to Golden State, if he goes to Sacramento, any of the teams that have been mentioned, Ben Simmons is no longer my life, but I will continue to say, if the guy unlocks an offensive game, somewhat of an offensive game.
He's insane.
He'll be probably one of the, or not, if not the best player in the NBA.
Yeah, he's a top 10 player if he unlocks
right.
that, for sure.
Whether he's here or not, and I'm not here defending Ben, I'm just saying, if this guy got his act together offensively, which shouldn't be all that hard, he's the best player. He could be the best player in the league.
Yeah, so the Sixers are going to have a legit shot at this. You know, Daryl Morey's been in the league a long time. Tad Brown, the new CEO of the Sixers and Devils, is a guy that, just in some brief reading on him, was apparently very instrumental in getting James Harden to Houston.
Okay.
So they brought CP3 to OKC. he's made a lot of moves of acquiring superstars in
That'd
the
be
NBA.
Nice, yeah.
So they know.
Yeah, they know.
I mean, like, I don't even think it's a doubt in their minds.
No, this isn't rocket science. Anyone could play GM right now.
Yeah, like, you're going to get Dame Lillard. You have the assets to do it. And, you know, you just got to hope it's the best offer out there, because if he's here...
I don't know who would have a better offer, though.
We were going through it. Golden State's offer could be okay, but you'd need a third team, because they probably don't want Wiggins. They'd have to settle and take him. But well, you could give 7 and 14 in the draft and Wiseman. That's pretty appealing if you can get the money to match.
Okay.
They're up there. If Boston decided that Jaylen Brown was a guy they would move on from. But again, he's 24 and incredibly promising. So, and under control.
He's gotten better every year.
Yeah, and under control and cheap. So does Boston want to make that type of move? Maybe not.
Remember we had Jaylen Brown, Ben Simmons debate?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's better?
Yeah.
Well, it's not even close now.
Toronto apparently can throw Siakam in, which is somewhat appealing. I don't know what the rest of their package would be. They'd have to... But, you know, the Sixers are going to be right there.
But here's the thing. For Pascal Siakam, right? I love the hell of a ball player, right? Who's more of a selling point in terms of
well, that's what you have
marketing?
To think about. Yeah.
And because if you're Portland, you're getting rid of your best player.
Oh, he's probably the franchise's all-time great.
Right.
He's probably eclipsed Clyde.
So you do that, and you now have to sell to your fan base, hey, listen, it just wasn't working out with Dame, but we got you this guy. And... Is Pascal Siakam a this guy?
Not really.
Love the way he plays. Love him. But is he banners of Pascal Siakam all up and down Portland? Ben Simmons,
well,
that draw is still there.
What's
He's
Ben
a joke.
What's Ben Simmons' shoe company?
Oh, I don't know. Is it Nike?
It's Nike.
Oh, okay.
And that, you know, somebody in the car right now might just go, that's real. I mean, Nike's headquartered. They are Portland.
Okay.
And Phil Knight and Rich Paul from Clutch Sports, that's all something, like, to your point, you just said, you can sell Ben Simmons in Portland. 24-year-old.
Portland, where it's like...
Well, that's probably mentally a better situation for him to correct his shot. But, like, the Nike situation, like, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
They can sell him out there. It's the Nike campus. It's all that. Rich Paul, you know, these guys know how to make things work.
Right.
And... You know, that's not to be overlooked, because Dame Lillard is Mr. Adidas, and I'm sure Phil Knight and Nike don't love having the face of Adidas as the
right
star
out there,
guy out there.
Makes sense.
So it helps if you have a Nike guy that you can put up some billboards and sell it to the
right.
fan base.
So, all right, boom, there you go. And it just makes no sense. Like, here's where I'm at right now, Jamie. I can't agree with anyone who wants to tell me the Phillies shouldn't be buyers. Because, again, the one glaring thing is bullpen. And you could probably fix that at the deadline. I can't agree with anyone who tries to tell me, don't go after Dame Lillard. I was listening to Tyrone when I was on my way to the Citizens Bank Park on Friday. And a guy called in, don't do it, because every team that Damian Lillard's on, the defensive rating of the team's bad, blah, blah, blah. Well, you also know that you won't be winning games where you're only scoring like 100 points.
Yeah.
You're going to be scoring 130.
I mean, your top two players are going to get you 65 a night,
right.
70 points a night.
And then add in Tobias, yeah. who is no longer looked at as the number two option.
Your big three could give you 85 to 90 a night.
That's what I'm saying. So screw your defensive rating because...
And he has improved slightly. He used to be,
right.
you know, Furkan-ish.
He also has never had Joel Embiid.
Sure.
You know, like, I like Yusuf Nurkic.
Sure.
I like Enes Kanter coming off the bench, but come on, man. It's not Joel Embiid.
No, and if you are able to hold on to a Thybulle or somebody like that, you can protect your team defense a little bit. And,
right. We'll probably complain that it's ugly at times.
Probably.
But we'll probably go nuts when they're winning 130 to 110.
What was the score last night's game? 121 to 119?
High scoring game, man.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to need to be in the 120s pretty consistently. And not to say that the Sixers...
That's fine.
Weren't capable of it, but we all know Ben Simmons' playoff basketball. It changes. And
yeah, he disappears.
It is what it is, and if I can get an absolute killer... And another thing we can get into is a tweet I saw Friday about the fans' role in acquiring superstars. It's a joke.
Yes.
Dame Lillard doesn't... He's from Oakland. He doesn't give a damn about... Like, he's a killer on the court. He wants the final shot. He's going to shoot it in your face... 100 out of 100 times. with the game on the line. Like, he doesn't care about fans.
And he knows he'd be a god in this city.
Yes, and he knows we'd all be eating out of his palms on Broad Street.
Yes.
Him and Joel Embiid is about as perfect a pairing as I can imagine in the league. So, like, fans, they don't have anything to do with this.
No.
A chance to win, marketability. The other thing Devon heard is he wants to come east because he knows the West is just an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah.
You know, Golden State's going to be back. Lakers are going to be back.
Right.
Phoenix has emerged. There's Utah. There's Denver. Like, it's just tough. So it does make sense he'd want to come
to
the
Eastern Conference.
And, you know, you got Milwaukee, you got Brooklyn.
And but then you also go, all right, so he says it's down to the Knicks and the Sixers. All right, so, okay, the Garden.
Sure.
But if we're going to do...
But if he's actually serious about winning...
That's the thing. If we're doing rosters...
Joel Embiid is the
key. Hold on now.
Joel Embiid could be the key to this all.
Yeah, exactly. Get out there and recruit Joe.
610-632-0975.
So, nobody can tell me the Phillies shouldn't be buyers. Nobody can tell me that the Sixers should not try to trade for Damian Lillard. Nobody can tell me that the trade for Ryan Ellis yesterday was a bad move. Like, it was a great move.
It was a necessary move.
They needed a defenseman. They got a pretty damn good one. They got rid of Nolan Patrick, who's done nothing for you.
He didn't even play last year.
No, he's done absolutely nothing for you.
He played a little bit.
So I go, all right, that's great. Now the last one, strictly football. Nobody can tell me the Eagles shouldn't try to trade for Deshaun Watson. Strictly football.
The problem is it's not strictly football.
Problem is it's not strictly football, and we'll get into that conversation too. It's not a fun one to have. It really is not. But I can't help but think that a lot of people will forget what happened because that means the Eagles are now all of a sudden contenders. You had Adam Schefter on Wednesday.
He said it 10 times
that they're Super Bowl contenders.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Deshaun Watson part, but
yeah.
He straight up said, if the Eagles get Deshaun Watson, they immediately jump up to Super Bowl contenders. Do I agree with Adam there? No,
I
don't. You go Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
I mean, I go, could possibly win the NFC East for sure. I guess once you get to the playoffs, you're a contender.
Yeah, and I just think he's a top five quarterback in the league if all this baggage isn't with them.
Well, that's the thing. There's baggage.
I think there's enough in place that you can tweak. If you get another cornerback in, I think, yeah, you got a shot.
All of a sudden, it's like all of a sudden the roaring 20s that Anthony talked about,
they're getting salvaged.
There's a possibility because about 3 weeks ago, I thought we were done.
I
really did.
I was telling Anthony on Friday, throw me in a volcano if it means Dame Lillard.
Damn right, man.
So I'm ready.
I appreciate you for doing that. That you're a very noble man here in Philadelphia.
Remember me well.
But it's kind of like a 4-for-4 show today. We got a little bit on each team because there's a little bit of buzz with each team. One team's playing currently, the Phillies. One team's making trades for defensemen. God, you guys needed it. The other two teams are speculation with star players that are near the tops of their positions in their respective sports. So we'll talk about it all today. And if you want to join us, you can jump in at 610-632-0975. We also got some restaurant stuff to get into. You texted me yesterday about tipping, and I have something about...
This isn't restaurant specific, though.
Okay. I have restaurant specific.
All right, we'll get into both.
All right, so
mine's just general tipping thing.
Okay, we'll get into the general tipping, and we'll also get into this restaurant thing that I went through yesterday that was kind of a weird move on their part. But anyways, 610-632-0975. He's Jamie Lynch. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Nat Marlow producing the show today right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. The Fanatic.
Woo! 10:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas alongside my man Jamie Lynch. We got Nat Marlow producing the show today. Weekend news dump coming your way at 10:40.
Got some good ones.
Before we get high, yeah, I can't wait. I love it. I know you've been working hard on this. Before we get to your tipping fiasco, when is the expansion draft for the
NHL?
Kraken. It's coming up soon because all the teams are getting in line, protecting players and leaving players unprotected. So we have the list, thanks to a couple of reporters, but Nat Marlowe put it up on the board. Your unprotected players for the Flyers.
The condomless guys.
Jake Voracek.
See ya.
James Van Riemsdyk.
Apparently, I read something that they want to not protect him, but keep Van Riemsdyk now because him and Ellis, people think, is a really good pairing. I don't know.
Sure.
I'm a Zamboner, Andrew.
Robert Hagg.
See,
Shane Gossesbear, who, when he got DFA'd and then nobody picked him up.
That's pretty telling. I don't think Seattle's taking him.
No, but I remember when he got DFA'd, Flyers fans were going crazy as if he's like the greatest defenseman of all time. And I was like, what are you guys complaining about? He sucks.
He started out
His numbers are just the same as Provorov's. Yeah, Provorov plays like 80 minutes a game because everybody else sucks.
Yeah, he started out so hot. Remember with like they printed out the emojis down there, the ghost bears.
In like each of his first 14 games.
And then
like,
he just fell off the cliff. And then, you know, playing defense is pretty important to being a defenseman.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I am a Zamboner, but I do believe
it was an offensive game.
Okay, you have to be able to at least stop a guy when he's one-on-one with you.
Or at least be elite offensively.
Yeah.
Whatever.
One of the two.
Whatever. Yeah. And Braun's your last unprotected player. Your protected player is Nick Aube-Kubel.
Aube-Kubel.
You're a big Knack guy.
I love Knack.
Of course you are. Obviously, Couturier, Giroux.
Hayes?
Is
he worthy of protecting right now?
Yeah.
I guess.
He had a really bad season.
Yeah, he did.
I hope, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the year before that, he was great. So it's hot and cold.
Well, that's the Flyers. Yeah. In 1 year, out the other.
Konechny, you really hope, bounces back. Scotty Lotz has been a pretty good player here.
Been pretty good.
He's been a really good player. Lindblom, obviously, you want to protect. Ellis, Provorov, Sanheim, Hart. Pretty obvious.
Yeah, those aren't really a shock to me.
No.
All right, what's your tipping fiasco? We'll get to Wayne in North Carolina.
So it's not a fiasco. It's more of a question.
Okay.
Because my wife and I were having this conversation yesterday, and we had two different answers. So we're having a swing set delivered tomorrow for my daughter.
Oh.
We paid the installation fee because I didn't want to be, there's going to be a lot of kids on this thing. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of little cousins, probably some neighbor kids. I didn't want to miss one screw somewhere and screw something up and the whole thing collapses and next thing you know, everybody hates me.
I tell you, I paid for installation for something and then when they said, hey, do you want it installed? I got scared and I said no.
Yeah, it was the coffee table, you idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, I got scared.
What? Dumbass.
Go on.
So we paid the installation fee. It was a gift from my parents, actually. So I didn't pay it. My mother did. And I was like, yes, I fully support that. I'm not putting together a swing set. So they're coming tomorrow, finally. Now, the conclusion my wife and I came to on this was we're going to gauge how long the job takes, and that'll be dependent on the tip. I think these guys will probably have it down to a science and can probably bang it out in like an hour, hour and a half. So she thought $100. We're assuming it's a two-man crew or two-person crew. Maybe a lady is coming.
Mm-hmm.
She thought $100.
That seems steep.
That's what I thought. Because they're probably paid fairly well. I mean, we paid this installation fee.
Think about it this way. I always tip 20%. I've actually been tipping higher during and post COVID time.
We're not tipping 20% because these things are not cheap.
Well, yeah, no, I got you. But I feel like 20% is good for somebody who is getting paid $2 an hour.
Sure.
In the restaurant world, which you've been in.
Yeah, I lived on tips for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. You lived on it. I don't think.
So I
These
said
guys are living.
No, I don't think so either. So I said 50, 25 a man. Now, do we gauge it by the time spent doing the job? So we're going to get $100 cash. I don't think we're giving them $100.
So if it's a
an hour job, I think 50 is more than fair for the two people, 25
each.
If it's a two and a half hour job, I'm thinking maybe like a 60 or maybe an 80 if they're out there 3 hours. 100's too much, right? Tell my wife she's wrong.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Addy. I think that's too much. Let's see. How much should you
Because
tip?
it's an abnormal tipping. It's not a restaurant tip, it's not a takeout tip, it's not like a salon or you know, any of that stuff or like the cat groomer. This is a tip I'm not familiar with. So I don't know what going rate is, and I don't want to be considered a cheap ass.
That, and they might be entirely grateful for a tip to begin with. Just thinking how many times they don't get tips.
Yeah, they might not get tips. So I think 50 is fair. What do you? If anybody has an opinion and can help us, I'm all ears.
Jamie needs help there.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
I'm on a.
Is there like a tip calculator?
I'm on a life hack that tells you how much you should tip all different kinds of. Like I have camp counselor.
I guess
on
here. Really tip the camp counselor.
Depends on the camp. Some camps don't let their counselors take it.
Huh. I would imagine this person kind of falls in like a handyman-ish realm.
All right, so handyman-ish kind of realm. Home service provider?
Yeah, I think it's a home service.
No need to tip if you have a relationship with someone who comes to your home frequently. You can offer a one-time tip at the holidays. Well, they're not coming.
No, this is a one and done.
Would you go home contractor?
Oh, here you go.
Furniture / appliance delivery person.
Yeah, I guess it's more that.
$5 to $20 per person, depending on the size and complexity of the delivery.
Okay.
Check to make sure this isn't already on your bill, which you are paying for the installation.
Yes, we are. But, you know, if it was the middle of a heat wave and they're busting their humps out there.
So here's one move that, you know, I think everybody should do. If somebody's doing something for you and it's
offer them a drink. Don't be a savage.
Oh, my God, yeah.
God, yeah.
Yeah.
Most people say no. But you have to offer.
You have to offer.
I've offered beers to people before.
I've done that.
I've had people take me up on it.
I did that a couple of times.
And I'm like, my man.
Yeah,
Todd, they want a beer.
It.
Yeah.
So there you go. $5 to $20.
All right. So then $25 a head would be more than fair.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Cool.
All right. Beautiful.
Because we had a debate back and forth. And then I asked my college buddies and they didn't answer me. So yeah, I was like, screw you.
I thought 50 a person. That sounds hefty.
Well, I worked a similar job just before I started working here. And if I was tipped $20, I was plenty happy with that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. A 20
because you're also
nice.
Working at a wage. You're not.
Yeah.
It's not $2.18 like I got at the B's. You know what I'm saying?
And I don't think these people are getting minimum wage.
No, I don't think so. Weekend news dump coming up. Let's go to Wayne in North Philly. Wayne, you're on the Fanatic.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, Wayne?
Couple of questions about Deshaun Watson. Does he have plural cases against him or just one case?
24 civil cases, Wayne.
Wow.
Yeah. It's problematic. 22 of the women still are yet to be deposed, meaning we don't really know what the details of their case are. We have seen some screenshots of Instagram conversations that certainly allude to, foul play. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is foggy to the general public. We don't really know a ton of the details.
Okay. Let's say this double cases go away quietly and the NFL doesn't suspend him. Do you think then the Eagles will be interested in him?
Yes, I do.
From a football standpoint, I would even say if they think Deshaun Watson's not going to be kicked out of the league or on an exempt list for an entire season, I think they're already interested, Wayne, because he is a top 10 definitely quarterback. You could push top 5 quarterback, and from a strictly football standpoint, and I know it's hard to do, but from a strictly football standpoint, because that is what their jobs are overall. That's what I mean. Howie Roseman's job, Jeffrey Lurie's job, is to put the best team out there possible. And I love Jalen Hurts; seems like a great kid, but there's no debate as to who the better quarterback is.
So I know who's the better quarterback, but that's my last question. What do you do with Jalen Hurts then?
He would probably be involved in the trade is my opinion because then Houston gets a young quarterback. They can see if he's worth it. It's not like he's getting paid a lot of money because he was a draft pick. He's still on his rookie deal. And you're also getting two first round picks in the deal, which could go a long way in drafting their quarterback of the future.
Yeah, because I was thinking the Eagles have possibly 3 first round picks next year, and that would be very appealing to Houston. I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. They'd be in the best position in the league. And you know what's Howie Roseman's diabolical? I'm sure this has been thought about for a while. Deshaun Watson at season's end wanted out. He traded with Miami. Now, I'm not saying this was the sole purpose, but it definitely helped. He now has more capital than the Dolphins because he took their own pick. So if the Dolphins are a team that was going to be in on him too, you just kind of one-upped them.
Okay.
So they'll have the best...
they'll have the best assets to go get him if they decide that's something they want to do. All right, Wayne, do you have FanFest tickets yet?
No, I don't, but I'd love to go.
All right, man, we'll see you there, Wayne. Hang tight, man. We'll get you the FanFest tickets now. We'll take care of you. Let's do a little weekend news dump right now, Jamie. I heard you've been working very hard on this, really, all week.
Since Monday morning, really.
That's awesome.
Since 12 o'clock last Sunday.
All right, so what do we got today, Jamie?
So there's a lot going on in the world right now. I don't know if you've heard, but the Olympics are about to start. They just had their second COVID outbreak in the Olympic Village already. But those aren't even the big stories. That is a big story.
Is it Team Lithuania not being in it for the first time since 1992?
Basketball? Is it really? Yeah. They didn't qualify?
They didn't qualify.
That's a shame.
Who's their best player? They ran into Luka.
Valanciunas?
Yeah, it's either him or Sabonis. Their guard play is pretty
lackluster.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need guards. This just in, they're important.
They're behind in the times a little bit right now.
So, yeah, two COVID cases going on in the Olympic Village already, which is certainly troubling for a country that's in a medical emergency. COVID situation themselves. Now you got a little outbreak in the village.
Yeah.
They've been quarantined and removed, but still. A Ugandan weightlifter has gone missing from the Olympic Village.
Why?
By his choosing.
Oh, what?
A note was found left behind that he's wanting to start a new life in Japan. He said life in Uganda was tough. He's done with it. He used his Olympic invite, basically, to get to Japan, and he's going to try and disappear and go off the grid and start a new life over there.
Dude.
Huh. Kind of crazy, kind of, you know, sad in that
his home country.
It must have been really bad that he's willing to just kind of go off the grid and start from scratch in a foreign country where I'm assuming he doesn't speak the language.
No, for sure.
That tells you how tough life must have been. But yeah, his note was found in the Olympic Village. Poof. He's gone like Kaiser Sose.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
I wish him the best.
I wish him nothing but the best.
I hope he doesn't get caught.
Well, what are they going to do?
I mean, it's not like he left Cuba.
I know. But, you know,
strange things happen.
I don't think the Ugandan government's
going
to Jason Bourne him and track him down.
No.
But like, you know, I hope he gets away with it if he really wanted out that bad. Good luck, buddy.
Yeah. I wish him nothing but the best. Now, could you do that? How long were you in Australia?
6 months. And they kicked me out. My visas ran out, so I would have stayed for a long time.
Were you studying abroad, or were you just out there?
No, I was just out there.
That's awesome.
But they spoke English.
Well,
so
right,
I didn't have a learning curve of... Like, I backpacked through Italy alone for like 2 weeks.
That's cool.
I was young, 24-ish. It was really tough.
Okay.
It was tough being alone, pre-cell phone, internet, now you have the Google Translate
right.
Where you can kind of talk into
this word mean?
Yeah, and have a conversation with somebody, at least if you show you're trying. I didn't have that, so
right.
It was really hard. Like, did I ever tell you how I thought I was taking... I was supposed to meet a girl in Venice that I met while backpacking.
Okay.
I thought I was taking the train to Venice. There was a track announcement change in Italian.
And you had no idea.
No clue. Yeah. I ended up going to Milan, and the train conductor started laughing at me like 2 hours into the train ride. Like, where do you think you're going? So, whatever. My point is, it's difficult to travel alone in a language that isn't, you know, what you're used to. So, best of luck, buddy. The other story out of the Olympic Village is they've made these anti-horny sex beds in the Olympic Village.
What are you talking about?
So, you know, if you've ever listened to athletes in the past, the Olympic Village more or less is like an orgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they give out like bowls of free condoms all over because they hope people are staying.
Which they did this year and then tried retracting them.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You get, you know, thousands of incredibly good-looking athletes. Yeah. They're all chiseled up. And they're going to get horny. They're all locked up in a cage for, close to a month?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to happen. You understand that. Well, Japan doesn't want that to happen. The beds they've put in the Olympic Villages are anti-sex beds. They are cardboard-based frames that apparently are only made for one person's weight. So anything more than one person, they're going to, like, collapse and break. They're like these anti-sex Olympic Village beds. Now, I'm sure, like, the NBA players, you know, people with, like, big money and influence aren't getting these beds. but a lot of your lower level athletes.
Well, are they good for their bodies?
Even if they're not having sex, I'm saying just.
I guess the mattress is fine because it's on top of the frame, but the frame is just not made for any funny business.
Okay, hold on a second.
They're really trying to make this a non-horny Olympic Village.
You don't need to do it in a bed, number one.
You don't.
Number two, you still have the mattress.
Take it on the floor. Unless maybe it's like glued to or zip tied to.
Okay. Even if you break the damn cardboard, what are they going to do? Arrest you for having sex?
Maybe. I don't know how passionate they are.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are out there, but I doubt they're like, oh, your bed's broken. You had sex. Come in.
You're out.
You're out. Like, I don't.
I know, but they're trying to make sure it's not an orgy over there in Japan. I know. My reaction when I read this story was,
what?
Huh?
Yeah, why would they do this?
It's really weird. So that's your Olympic Village news going on over there.
Thank you for that.
A little baseball news going on over the weekend. First, the lighthearted one. White Sox fans, once again, are not letting the Houston Astros forget. Inflatable trash cans their way onto the field last night in Chicago.
I love it.
When the Astros were in town. I love these
stories. How annoyed do you think the Astros players are?
I mean, they've kind of bounced back as players.
No, they're good. They were good last year.
Yeah, but some of like Altuve took like a dip, you know, like I think they're all kind of back to what they were. So it probably feels pretty good at this point. They're probably
I think they know about it. They know that they're the heel now of Major League Baseball.
I think it's
good
for
the game.
All sports need heels.
Yes.
I mean, if Joel Embiid he turns heel basically with the triple X,
exactly.
So like we love heels in sports. The bigger story is what happened between Boston and New York last night. This is outrageous.
I saw this. A Phillies fan was there.
Yeah, a Phillies fan dressed up in, I guess,
Yankees gear. Yeah.
And he went and threw a baseball from the outfield bleachers at Alex Verdugo of the Red Sox and hit him in the back.
Those damn Philadelphians.
The game was delayed after the fan threw a baseball at Verdugo. Outrageous.
Well, yeah. I mean,
outrageous.
Are you kidding me, you moron? Like, what are you doing?
Like, you should be banned from every Major League Baseball stadium, not just New York, world, you know, countrywide. Ban them from every stadium, you know.
That's assault.
Yeah.
The guy, Verdugo, got his back to him.
Yeah.
That's assault.
I mean, I don't even have to say if this was Philadelphia, God, it would be on the BBC, CNN, Fox News, ESPN. This one, like, I was just reading The Athletic this morning, and I was like, wait, what? Throws baseball at Alex Verdugo? What the hell? Outrageous story.
Oh, it is a top headline on ESPN.
Oh, good
Number
for them.
Number four. Yes.
Okay.
So,
good work by them, at least mentioning it. Last couple ones I want to get to. In the baseball world, there was some mic'd up footage from the All-Star game of, it wasn't Devers. I forget which Red Sox player
it was. JD Martinez.
That was JD Martinez.
I know.
So now I want to propose this question to you because part of me respects this.
Okay.
So JD Martinez is talking to some other American League teammates at the All-Star game. And I guess they're talking about the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry, yada, yada, yada. So JD goes on to say, Gerrit Cole walked onto the bus, and Rafael Devers and another Red Sox teammate gave him a, hey, Gerrit, what's up, man? Gerrit stone-faced him, walked right by without saying a word. Now, on a human level, J.O. move.
Total.
On the rivalry move, part of me respects it a little bit, although it's a J.O. move.
Is the rivalry still the rivalry?
Yeah, I mean, it's Red Sox-Yankees. It's always going to be there.
Is the rivalry still the rivalry? Like, it is still a rivalry, don't get me wrong. But it's not Veritek and A-Rod getting into a fist fight.
But it's still hate.
Part of me is annoyed because, like, ESPN really overdid it with the Red Sox-Yankees thing.
Yeah, they did.
Like, they're on ESPN every time the two of them play. They are on ESPN.
I kind of think it's cool in a way that Cole's
at the All-Star game.
Blows him off on the All-Star bus.
Yeah, but has he had issues with them? He went from the Pirates to the Astros.
Not that I know of, but he's buying into the rivalry. I kind of think that's cool.
All right. Good for him.
And last one, Shohei Ohtani donated his $150,000 he got from the Home Run Derby to Angels staffers, which I thought was incredibly cool. And then the final story, if you're being critical of Space Jam 2 and LeBron's acting, lighten up. It's a kid's movie.
It's a kid's movie.
Everybody chill out.
I heard it's terrible.
Yeah. But Pat Egan said it's terrible.
I'm probably not going to watch it, or maybe one day I will.
I'll watch it with my daughter to see if she gets into it. I saw one clip that was pretty cringeworthy about LeBron, where it's Don Cheadle, and he's like talking to the aliens about why LeBron James is great, and he goes on to call himself a king. Like, it's pretty cringeworthy.
So it's very look at me.
Yeah.
He's a very look at me guy.
Yeah.
Every time he's at his kid's game,
he's the center of attention.
Up on the court.
I don't want to kill a guy for reacting to his kids, but
no. Even during halftime, he's taking jump shots.
Yeah.
And crowds.
And like his wife films him standing 2 feet away from his huge TV, like jumping up and down, screaming. Like, all right.
We get it.
You're LeBron. Last night at the NBA Finals game, he's sitting courtside.
Yeah.
Did you see what was between his legs?
A bottle of tequila.
Yeah, he was allowed to bring his own bottle of tequila
now,
in.
He's an investor
in the company.
Why is it not... Why was it outrageous that Dwight Howard went to a Hawks game?
Well, because LeBron didn't lose to the Suns or the Milwaukee Bucks.
They lost to the Suns first round.
Excuse me. It wasn't the immediate, day after. Right. Some time had went on.
I didn't really get bothered by the Dwight Howard.
I thought it was a bad look. I didn't really care, but I was
who cares?
That team just should have just ripped your heart out of your chest.
And you know what? He doesn't give a damn.
No, he doesn't. Clearly, that's exactly why people were offended by it. So that's your weekend news.
All right. Well, you said something about the Shohei Ohtani thing.
Yeah.
I got something I have to ask you about. I have the restaurant thing I need to bring up coming up at 11 o'clock, but also reporter on reporter crime.
Ooh, I like it.
So we'll get into that coming up. 610-632-0975. You want to join us? He's Jamie Lynch. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Great job, as always, on the Weekend News Dump. We'll be right back right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.